Okay, you've made it to part three of this lecture. We're almost done. By 287 BCE, plebeians and patricians had equal legal rights. That's quite an accomplishment. Nevertheless, real political power remained in the hands of the patrician class, and they were made up of the nobility. Men from this class had the highest office in the Republic and dominated the Senate. In addition, during Rome's wars of expansion, a new class of rich plebeians gained control of the government. Their wealth came from the growing trade and industry of Rome. And this powerful new class of citizen guarded its power closely. So what we really start to have now by 287 BCE is the haves and the have-nots of the plebeian class. And the haves, which was that upper class of merchants and traders, really didn't want the same things that the common farmers and artisans of that plebeian class wanted. So by 287 BCE, only the tribunes in the assembly of tribes continued to speak for that common citizen. And that's going to cause some difficulties. We also have a class below the common plebeians. We have slaves. Slaves made up the lowest class in Roman society. Most slaves were prisoners of war, but some were plebeians who had been enslaved for debt. This eventually, as I said on an earlier slide, was done away with, but it still existed in the early days of the Republic. So some plebeians would have been enslaved for debt. Slaves were not citizens and they had no legal rights. Slavery, however, was endemic in the classical world, and huge numbers of men, women, and children were slaves. Many of them were captives of Rome's ceaseless wars. You read about this notion of slavery in Rome when you read Ben-Hur last week. Ben-Hur, as you know, becomes a slave, and you read about him working in the mines. Slaves provided a cheap workforce, which actually contributed significantly to unemployment among freeborn citizens, because the slaves did the jobs that some of these freeborn citizens would have done. It is estimated that in the city of Rome, in 106 BCE, a quarter of the population was slaves. That's staggering. So once again, it's estimated that in 106 BCE, a quarter of Rome's citizens were slaves. It was a common practice to free domestic slaves as a reward for good service or allowing them to buy their freedom. This automatically gave them Roman citizenship, and the sons of freedmen were eligible for public office. Most ex-slaves, however, continued to work for their former owners. Basically, they had a number of advantages with their emancipation working for their former owners. Okay, this concludes the second lecture on ancient Rome. And again, I covered just a tiny portion of what life was like in the complex institution of government during the days of the Republic. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to touch on any more of Imperial Rome, but luckily your textbook does a nice job fleshing out Rome in chapter 6 and 7.